pastors around you there. You know, here we are in the first month of the new year. Glory to God. Well, all right, praise the name of the Lord. Let's go ahead and work our way back to our seats there, if we could. Praise his holy, righteous name. Thank you, Lord. All right, praise the name of the Lord. As you're doing that, let's be open in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. All right? Matthew chapter 6. I'm going back to the vision statement that I gave last week, which is for this coming year in 2026. It's for us as a church body. It's also for you personally in the Lord, obviously so, if it's our church body, you know, but seek first the kingdom, you know, seek first the kingdom. I feel this so strongly in my heart as I gave this out for us this last Sunday. I'm going to go back to this reference verse right here in verse 33. That's where we'll begin again as we did last week. This is in Matthew chapter 6. This is verse 33. And look what it says. It's giving you and I instructions, and it's instructions as to how we might find the promises of God, how we might find the goodness of the Lord, how we might find the mighty hand of God and all that the Lord has prepared and given to us in the kingdom of God. You know, this is how the Lord wants us to live. We're learning that. We're learning that in our life, in our walk. It's something new to us. You know, we're born in this world, you know, and this natural world, you know, is just something that is so easy for us to, you know, to see and to know and to feel. And then we're born again by the Spirit of God, and we've got a new life now. And in that new life, we're in a new realm, and we're in the kingdom of God. We're in the kingdom of God, you know, and there is a light and a revelation that goes forth by the Spirit, and he begins to lead us and teach us on how we might live in the kingdom of God. Even though we're there, you really don't know how to utilize it or to find our way around it many times, but we're taught by the Holy Spirit. That is still going on, no matter how long you've been saved, no matter if you know that you're in the kingdom. First of all, many times that's the first light of revelation is, you know, I'm not just saved, you know, waiting to go to heaven. My goodness, something else has happened to me. I'm in the kingdom of God. You know, I'm not waiting to go to the kingdom of God. I'm in the kingdom of God. You know, and so, you know, we learn how to walk and live. It's up to you and me to possess it, to lay hold of it. It's already ours. It's already been given. You're already in the kingdom of God. But that kingdom has to be activated. It has to be activated. It has to be received. It has to be believed upon by you and I. And by that, we possess the kingdom of God moving and working in our lives to a greater measure and to a greater degree. You know, what wonderful excitement to me that is to know, you know, that I'm in the kingdom of God. The word of the Lord says that my citizenship, and it's neat, you know, that my citizenship is in heaven. You know, I'm no longer of this world, but I am of the kingdom of God. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. They know my name in heaven. Isn't that really quite incredible? You know, we are more connected to heaven than you would ever really dream. You know, it's not like, you know, well, I'm here now and then one day, you know, I'm going to go to heaven. You know, that may be true facts right there, but the word of the Lord says that my citizenship is even presently now in heaven. That's where I belong. You know, I'm no longer of this world. I'm no longer of this life. I'm no longer in the flesh, right? You know, and I know that the flesh speaks powerfully to you and I in so many different ways, but the Spirit of God is training us and teaching us how to possess the land, right? You know, the land of promise is God's kingdom for you and I in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and this is when we begin to live the God kind of life. We begin to live the abundant life. I came to give you life, and I came to give it to you more abundantly. You know, this is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me read this, and this is verse 33. It says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. Now, you know, it's very clear that what he's talking about is the provisions of life. It's very clear that that's what he's talking about. You know, like for example, you know, it says right here, let me read it. Look up here at verse 25. For this reason, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Your body, or as to what you shall put on, is not life more than your body, more than food, and your body more than clothing? And what he's saying is that life is not about just simply getting. Life is about Him. Life is about Him. You know, outside of Him, there is no life. He is life. Do you understand that? I may be alive, but He Himself is life. You know, and He's the one that gives us life. I didn't say a heartbeat. I said life. And you know, life comes from Him. And, you know, so, and then he goes on and he says this as well. Look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Look, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to your life's span? In other words, it doesn't get you anywhere, does it, right? You know, I mean, I was taught in life, I've told you this before, you know, I had great parents and everything, but, you know, they were taught, you know, to be responsible, you have to worry about things, right? You know, if you're not worried about it, then you just don't care. Right. You know, and that's a mentality that, you know, that's passed on many times, you know, that, you know, if, well, you're a responsible person if you worry about it. Well, the Word of God says you worry about it all day long and it's not going to change anything. It's not going to change anything. You know, and there are implications here. There are implications. That implication is that, you know, we're looking to the wrong place. We need to be looking to the Lord. We need to be coming to the Lord. We need to be looking to the kingdom. We need to be believing upon the kingdom promises that have been given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, because they do not begin to flow. They do not flow automatically. You do not grow in maturity as a Christian just because you became one. You do not grow in maturity as a Christian just because that you became one. You've got to go forward in the Lord. You've got to go forward in the Lord. And it's not going to just simply fall down in your lap. It's going to come because you come to the Lord. It's because you seek after His face. It's because you call upon the name of the Lord. It's because you believe upon Him. It's because you follow after His pathway. You give Him what He demands of you. You know, and as you give what He demands of you, then He gives what He has granted to us. This wonderful kingdom of God. Now, let me go on and let's just read a little bit right here. I'm going to come on down here and look what he says in verse 30. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you? And then look at this. Oh, men of little faith. You know, so can you see the contrast of worry and fear, and you got your heart and your mind all, you know, upon this life. You're looking for your provisions to come from this life. You're looking for it just to come from your labor. It's all on you, and you got to make it for yourself, and you got to do. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't work. You know, there's a scripture for that as well, right? You know, if a man won't work, neither let him eat, right? It doesn't mean that you don't do, but here's the difference in it. It's living in the favor of the Lord. It's having that unseen hand of God that goes before you, that blesses the work of your hand, you know, that causes the favor of men and of God to come upon you, that all of a sudden there are unseen doors that begin. You're doing the labor. You live in this world. You're not of this world, but there are principles and laws that govern this world, and the Lord expects us to abide by them. When I get up in the morning, I got to wash myself because nobody's going to do it for me, right? Okay, you know, and you know, it's not going to just magically disappear. You know, there we do sweat, and we do work, and we do labor, but we look for our blessings to come from the good hand of Almighty God. You know, God begins to bless. You know, he'll bless you in many ways. You know, he'll bless you financially. He'll bless you in your health. You know, he'll bless you in your heart. He'll bring peace. Boy, I'll tell you, you can't put a price on peace. You just cannot. You cannot. And the Word of God says that it's the peace that surpasses all comprehension. Isn't that an amazing promise? That's in Philippians. An amazing promise from God. You know, the peace that surpasses all comprehension that will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, that's an overcoming power of God. Instead of being overcome, you are overcoming. It means that you can handle and overcome whatever comes your way. Whatever God deems to allow to come your way, whatever it would be, if there's surprises in life, if there's hardships in life, if there's trying times or difficulties or trials, you know, this promise of this kingdom is not that you will never have another trial in your life, but it does give you certain promises that, number one, is that the Lord is with you. Number two is the Lord will see you through. And number three, He will give you the victory. No matter how that victory is manifested, but He will give you the victory. So we need to understand that this is all part of the way that the kingdom comes. That God begins to give His goodness, the unseen hand of goodness upon you. You get to begin to have blessings that come into your heart. They change your mind. They change your perspective. It changes your attitude. You find something that most professional athletes could never find. And that is, you find contentment in heart. What a treasure. Instead of always living for the next exciting thing, or that you got to create thrills in your life before you can ever be happy. You know, and that's the way you live your life, is you got to go after the next exciting thing. And you got to create thrills that are in your life in order to keep stimulated and enjoy life. But this is not the way of the Lord. God brings peace. He brings contentment. He opens doors. He brings blessings. He'll increase. And I tell you, this is just how I feel. You may not, but I feel like that the Lord will bring increase in every avenue of your life, that there's no limit to the increase that God will bring and the measure that God will bring into your life. There's no limit to it, but it's to follow the path of being made into a trustworthy servant of the Lord. Because he's not going to give you something that's going to destroy you. He's not going to open doors that's going to ruin you. He's not going to do it. You know, so we need to understand this. You know, this kingdom that God has given us. The riches of the kingdom. The Word of God talks about that. Can you imagine? The riches of the kingdom of God. Having love. Having love. Knowing love, being filled with love, right? Knowing God, my goodness, what an incredible blessing to have your heart, your mind, and your eyes open to where you can actually know God, not know about Him. And a very difficult thing to explain to people that don't know God, right? Because they only see it as an intellectual thing. You know, they only see it as a concept, you know, or as a doctrine or as a philosophy. But and when you tell them, you need to know. No, I know him, right? And, you know, only that the hidden thing, for only the humble. That's the only ones, because God has nullified the things that are with the things that are not. You know, and he has made a destruction of the wisdom of man through the simplicity of just simply believing. Man thinks he's so smart, doesn't he? Man just thinks, and he thinks his intelligence is everything. You know, when everything comes from the hand of God to the humble, to those that are willing to humble themselves, man doesn't see it that way, does he? Right, so this is the things that God has chosen, these goodnesses of Almighty God, you know, and blessings. And what they do is they grow, and they grow, and they grow as you keep following the Lord. Let me go back to this. You know, it says right here again, you know, because it's so simple, but it says right here, you know, that we believe upon the Lord. We believe for these things. Verse 30 goes on and says, O men of little faith. You know, these big things begin to flow into your life because you begin to seek the Lord. You begin to seek them. You begin to seek the kingdom. You turn to the Lord. You call upon the Lord and you believe upon him. Look now at verse 31. Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things, look at verse 32. For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. And when he says Gentiles here, he's talking about those that do not know God. You know, this is the way of man. It's sad to say this. Some Christians live like this too. But this is the way of man. It's not the way of God. Do you see something that is a hidden message in all this? All of the provisions that you need in life come from me. It's all found in my kingdom. I give you blessings that no man can ever give you, that no dollar can ever bring you, and no relationship can ever fulfill. It's found in me, is what the Lord is saying. And if you will believe upon me, you know, and believing the Lord is also yielding your heart to God, right? It's not simply intellectual. You know, remember I read that scripture in Romans? Romans 10:9-10, you believe with your heart, right? You know, not with your intellect, and then you confess with your mouth. So he's always looking for more room in your heart. Always looking to bring increase of the glory, grace, and love, and presence of God in your heart. He's always doing that, all right? There's always areas of our heart that we're not aware of that he doesn't have. There may be things that he does. He brings things to light. He lets you to be tried so that those things come to the surface. Do you know that? You know, they come to the surface. You know, it's like a form of purification. You know, all the dross under the heat begins to surface, doesn't it? Right? And that's what the Lord does. And that's all for the purpose of you and I being able to have more of him. Well, then it goes on right here, and look at this. They eagerly seek it. For your heaven, this is verse 32, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. And then I'm reading again. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. There's the promise. And there's the condition. You know, so what's God saying this morning? What's he saying to you and I? He's saying that I will lead you in unimaginable, unseen ways and bring such incredible blessings upon you. You're never too young. You're never too old. You're never too late. And I will bring them upon you, but seek first his kingdom. This is the condition. I know there's some of you are looking for great changes to come into your life. You know, I know you're looking for changes that only God can bring. We're looking at the pathway. We're looking at, many are saying, I don't know which way to go in my life. I don't know really what I should do. You just heard the answer. You seek first. What does it say? First. Everybody say first. First. His kingdom. And then the promise of God is that all these things shall be added to you. Wow. Isn't that incredible? That's incredible. And then look at this. Verse 34 says, therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Everybody say amen. Amen. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Keep your eyes on me and look to follow me and don't worry about all of the other. Be faithful. Let me teach you. Let me train you. Let me lead you. Let me have all of you continually as I move upon you. Give it to me and I will cause the blessings of the kingdom to come down upon you. That's a wonderful promise. Now, there's another point right up here, and I'm going to bring it back again, if I could. 22 says, the lamp of the body is the eye. You know, if therefore your eye is clear, and the NIV uses the word good, and New American Standard uses the word clear. Now, look what it says right here. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. You know, the light of glory, grace, love, his spirit and presence will all shine on in you. But this is a stipulation. Now, what does that mean? Well, that word clear mean is the Greek word hapos, H-A-P-L-O-U-S, and it means singular, singular. What we're talking about is we're talking about Jesus being the Lord over your heart. Over your life. You know, we're in the kingdom of God. Well, guess who's in charge of the kingdom of God? Well, in Matthew 18, Pilate said, well, you tell me, are you a king? Are you a king? And he says, well, are you saying this about me? Or did you hear this from others? And then he said, well, what am I, a Jew? Right? Are you a king? And Jesus confirms there in Matthew 18, he says, yes, I am a king. Now, did you hear that? Jesus is the king of the kingdom. So that means that we're subject to him. You understand that? Then, you know, that's where the kingdom of God comes down upon you, because we're subject to him. You know, he is the Lord of our life. Singular. Where's my eye? You know, what's got my attention? What am I looking to? What am I following after? You know, I'm following after the king. Do I want the kingdom? Then I'm going to become a servant of the kingdom, in the kingdom with the king. You know, so I want you to see this, and I want you to hear this right here. This is very, very important to you and I in the Lord. In this, in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you know, it grows and it grows as we follow the Lord. You know, we start out and we think we know what it means for him to be Lord, right? And then as we grow in the Lord, we've come to find out that, oh, wait a minute, there's greater demands of this Lordship on me than what I used to think. Right? You know, so there's always a continual growing that goes on in the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. What the Lord does is that he continues to bring light and revelation and understanding that causes us to give him more of ourselves and to receive more in the kingdom. That means going on in the Lord, right? I want to just, you know, there's so many Christians, you know, that the way that I wrote this down, the way that they live their Christian life, and it's not the way that God intended it. And a common experience with many Christians is that they wander aimlessly after spiritual maturity. They just kind of, they grope around in an unseen way after truth and obedience. You know, they really know how to lay a hold of it. And the reality of God, having the reality of God, is either number one, momentary touches of God, or number two is intermitting experiences with the Lord. When this is not the way that the Lord meant for us to walk before him. But he seeks for you and I to walk and find an abiding fellowship in him. Now, that could only be made known to you and I by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, and in that power of the Holy Spirit, that visionary way of the Spirit is made known to us. It's very difficult to possess the things of the kingdom and not find the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit that reveals the kingdom. You know, this is how, try to do this through the flesh, and then that's why we grope around so much, like we're trying to find our way in this kingdom of God. But it's to be made known to us and revealed to us in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, with that, let me show you a couple of things right here. I want you to, if you would, turn to Ephesians chapter 5 real quick. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. I gave you last week, we talked about the short list, and I'm going to go back to that again. And then I gave you in that, you know, we saw, you know, the short list is the way that we walk with the Lord every single day. And that was with repentance and humility. And then through love and through faith, and then also holiness with obedience. And then there was the long game. I made that known to you. And the long game had to do with the glorious love affair in Jesus by the Holy Spirit, to where we walk after that visionary way. You know, and that's because we begin to let the Holy Spirit move upon us, move within us. And we begin to expect the promises that God has given us about the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord brings them to light. And this is what the first, what the Lord does is he seeks to bring you and I into an intimate communion with the Lord. Look at this word right here. You know, this is in Ephesians 5. And look here at verse 31. It says, for this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. You know, that's a marriage, right? Between a man and a woman. And then verse 32 says, this mystery, now look, he calls it a mystery. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Wow. He states facts of life and facts of relationship and facts of marriage between a man and a woman, and then he takes those facts and then he applies them to the relationship that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and that is an intimate relationship, you know, an intimate fellowship and communion. This is an abiding relationship in Jesus. We should not be walking around in a groping way, trying to find our way forward. You know, it's revealed to us in the power of the Holy Spirit as we give our heart over to walking and receiving and living in that intimate communion and fellowship with the Lord. The greatest thing that God wants to bring into your life in 2026 is more of a knowledge of Him. More of a knowing Him. More of a revealing of Him. A more of you being taken up into that fellowship and communion. And as that happens, then you're going to see this kingdom unfold in your life. Now, hold on there for just a minute. And then let me go here. And I just want you to hear this one, just so you can hear a few of these, what this is revealing to us. Now, this comes from, just listen, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2 says, for I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. There again is that intimate relationship, that intimate communion with the Lord. You know, remember me talking about this last week? I brought up, you know, challenges. One of them being, number one was a selfish ambition. A second one was idols of the heart. These are challenges, you know, in this singular lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, the Holy Spirit brings these things to light as our focus is upon Him. I'll talk more about them later. Let me give you a couple more of those challenges. Here's number three. Number three, listen, is the self-life versus the will of God. This is always a challenge that's before us. You know, that is the self-life versus the will of God. You're always a push, a tug, and a pull that's going on in your walk with the Lord between those two elements, living for the will of God versus living after the self-life. The more that I stay in the realm of the self-life, the less evidence I'll see of being in that kingdom, because I can't possess it in the self-life. I do possess it when I live after and follow after the will of God. Do you understand that that's what Jesus did, is that he came to do the will of God. That's duplicated in you in Christ's likeness. Are you understanding that? You know, the more the Spirit brings you into the conformity of the likeness of Jesus, that's true spiritual maturity. And the more that comes about, the more you possess a heart and a desire to be found in doing the will of God more than you want your own will. Matter of fact, you're willing to suffer personally in order to be found doing the will of God. Man, that's amazing, isn't it? That's called the power of God. That's the power of God. That you're willing to, whoa, you're going to suffer? Not me, buddy. No, I'm going to go, what's in it for me? I'm going to go, what's best for me? It's going to be for me. You know, man, that's the way I'm going to go, buddy. You know? Well, you don't know anything about the sufferings of Jesus, but you do when you follow after the will of God. But the flip side of all of that, because we're not of this world, we're of the kingdom of God, is that we also begin to possess this kingdom all by the hand of this glorious God. There's two laws in the kingdom. Then what the kingdom is ruled by. First, Jesus is the king. I'm his servant. I'm his servant. If you want to live in this kingdom, then you're submitted to the king of the kingdom. And there's two laws that govern this kingdom. Love and grace. Those are the two laws that govern the kingdom, is love and grace. I could speak more of that in itself. I won't. But if I follow after those two laws and Jesus has got my eye, then my whole life shall be end up filled with light. That's good, isn't it? Isn't that good? Praise his holy, righteous name. Amen. Amen. Now, okay, and here's the fourth one that I'm going to give you, these challenges. Number four, number three was the self-life versus the will of God. And number four is this one. It's becoming an obedient servant. And I spoke a little bit about this, becoming an obedient servant versus a renegade in the kingdom. You don't want to be a renegade in the kingdom, right? Because a renegade cannot ever be counted on. See, that's people that give their hearts to Jesus and they never progress a step further. They never progress a step further because they refuse to be obedient in the kingdom. And because they won't be obedient to the kingdom, then the things of the kingdom cannot come alive. They cannot be real, and they cannot be received. Because Jesus is the King of the kingdom. He is the Lord over all. His laws are governed by love and by grace. Love is that I receive his love, that I yield to his love, that I choose his love, that I walk after his love. When I don't, I repent. I let the love of God continually speak to me, touch me, minister to me, lead me, dominate me, and rule over me. This is a pathway. And every provision and promise flows in my life by the grace of God. Do you know we are actually learning how not to try to earn it? That's sometimes a tough one because that could get so subtle, can't it, right? That we somehow kind of earn it. Well, you know, I don't know how much confidence that I could take in the Spirit of God, you know, moving in me because, you know, I didn't really spend as much time in the Lord this week as I really should have, you know, right? I didn't really read my Bible enough that I should have. And these subtle things that hold us back from receiving and believing. And see, some of them, there's true factors involved. That's why it becomes so difficult and subtle to us, because there's true factors involved. Yeah, I need to be in prayer. Yeah, I need to be in the Word. You know, but then the evil one gets us in this area right here where the Lord is moving more freely because of all of my self-effort in seeking him. No. That's not how the power of God works. Power of God works through grace. All of it. The anointing, the gifting of the Holy Spirit, not based upon how good you've been doing, right? You know, this intimate, it's from this intimate communion. I'm going to close here real quick, but let me read just a couple of more to you. And this intimate communion is likened unto a man and a husband and a wife's relationship, you know, an intimacy in the Lord. Just listen to this one. This is in, you can write it down. This comes from Revelation 21. Let me read verse 2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Look at this. Made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Right? My goodness, these descriptions that we find of this intimate fellowship and communion. Here's verse 9. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I shall show you the bride." Listen to this, the wife of the Lamb. You know, it's like, and let me give you some of the fruits of an abiding fellowship in Jesus. Here it is, right here, in this abiding communion that is revealed by the Spirit, because that begins your focus, because the whole kingdom is about the King, right? The whole kingdom is about the King, you know, and I am subject to Him. Here is some of the fruits of an abiding fellowship that comes. You know, one would be a flow by the Spirit in the inner man. Now listen, that simply says, "I am with you." Isn't that neat? A simple flow. This comes even in the daily activities, daily busyness, or maybe right in the middle of very active work, that you find that there's a presence that you're aware of, that there's a guiding hand, there's a leading hand, there's a warning hand. I mean, I can be right in the middle of being very, very active and very, very busy, and my mind on my business at work, and I can be right smack dab in the middle of it, and then I can see the subtlety of the enemy trying to trap me in a moment's time. Whoo! That's incredible, isn't it? Isn't that incredible? I don't have to say anything. I don't have to make anything known. But, oh, buddy, I see who's behind you right now. You understand what I'm saying? Now, this is what we're talking about. It's a being in tune with Him, fellowship. This becomes the delight of your life. This becomes the delight of your heart. It becomes the ambition of your desire. Other great works of this fruit that comes from an abiding in Christ are such things as comfort, you know, comes from strength and encouragement. Now, I'm going to just give an example here. This has come to my heart, you know, as I was looking at all this and, you know, understanding this wonderful love affair of the Lord. I was thinking of my wife, Beatrice, right? Yeah, and I'm not going to say anything, but, you know, my brother, I got to tell you about my brother real quick, okay, you know. All right, so my brother, doggone it, I'd be talking to him and I'd tell him something, you know, that happened in my life or something that went on, and the next thing that would happen, he'd be using it in a sermon. Man, I'd go to him, I'd say, doggone it, I'm not going to tell you nothing anymore. You know, because the next time I tell you something, you're going to be blabbering it all over everywhere for everybody from the pulpit. Beatrice, I'm not going to do that. But you know, I'll just speak. You know, Beatrice is the love of my life. She's the joy of my life, you know. And you know what? It her presence makes me happy. You know, we can be in a room together and not even be saying anything, right? You know, and there's a certain element of peace and grace and joy and satisfaction just comes just by being with her. Are you with me? You know, that's why this is being used as an example to us. you know, that there's a completeness that's there, a companionship, you know, a delight in fellowship. I enjoy being with her. Doesn't matter what we're doing. It's not based upon doing something. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. And see, that's that intimate communion and fellowship that's being used as an example of where the Lord wants to bring you and I, that makes everything so clear in Jesus. Kathy, why don't y'all come on? Isn't that wonderful?